Hello and welcome to Beyond the Back Page on Near FM. On the show today, we will preview Cora, a new documentary about Cora Staunton, which airs this weekend on TG Catter with the director of the documentary, Seana Keogh. And later in the show, we'll be joined by Sean Kavanagh, who'll talk to us about the upcoming Homeless World Cup. But firstly, I'm delighted to be joined on the line by Seana Keogh. Seana, how are you today?
I'm great, thanks. Yourself?
Not too bad. So, Seana, can you just tell us how did the idea to make the documentary about Cora Staunton come about?
Yeah, so I do a lot of documentaries across in the US as well. So I would have been developing a lot of sports documentaries for ESPN and Fox Sports, and would have done a lot of development around the Ladies World Cup and the US Women's World Cup team, as well as the national hockey team over in the US. And so, playing myself, I played GAA my whole entire life. I played camogie and I played football. When I came home and set up a production office here, one of the things I wanted to do was to get more female athletes on air and to explore more sports programming. And I met Cora at Up for the Match, and we were shooting the green room, and to me it just seemed like the most natural thing to suggest to her. So we struck up a conversation, and I suggested that we start filming, and sort of the rest is history.
Yeah, and the documentary focus on our time going out to Australia with Sydney Giants. Could you tell us about, for Cora to go out to Sydney, it was an incredibly brave thing to do. So how did she get on when she went out to Sydney?
Like, I mean, I think, you know, that's one of the things we were even talking about yesterday, is like the added pressure, you know, to also have a camera crew following you.
Yeah.
You know, what was brilliant, and I said you'll see it through the documentary, is, you know, there's a huge honesty in the production and in the documentary where, you know, it was very, you know, hard for Cora to go over and just learn a code in essentially 8 weeks, and everything that she knows about the game at home is completely different to what it is with the Aussie rules. And so to be able to adapt to that environment as well, you know, you've got the heat, you've got the distance, the jet lag, you know, was pretty incredible. So to be part of that journey from the very beginning, which is what I wanted to be there for, was pretty essential. I think when you watch the documentary, you'll see that, you know, her progression in terms of getting used to the game, getting used to the rules, getting familiar with certain tactics, because the Aussie rules is an extremely tactical game, and there's a lot to take on. So you see throughout the course of the film, and you know how she transitioned over and how she improved week by week.
Yeah, and you had the a premiere last night in the Stella Theatre. How did that go?
To be honest with you, for me personally, it was an absolute dream come true. You know, the screening was fantastic. To watch the final product go out on such a big screen, and then to be received by so many people so well, you know, the feedback has just been incredibly supportive and really unbelievable. So from a personal perspective, it's absolutely amazing. But for me as well, you know, for doing a documentary like this, you know, it's just, I'm incredibly proud to be Irish and to be able to have gone on this journey, because there was one point when we're filming over in Melbourne, you know, Sonia Sullivan came down to support Cora, and you know, after the game, she came into the dressing room and I had a conversation with the, you know, the rest of the Giants and girls team. And it was brilliant then, you know, at one point I was just looking around and there was Cora and there was Sonia, two of our greatest female exports, you know,
brilliant.
All the way over representing Ireland and the other side of the world. So for me, I said it was a magical moment to be able to showcase Ireland's talent to the bigger audiences, you know, because we have it right here on our doorstep.
Yeah.
It's just a case of making sure it gets out.
Yeah, and it is incredible, I think, that someone hasn't filmed a documentary about Cora before, because she's such an iconic figure. We just have to look at the mount she's worn. It is quite amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, like, again, this might be just from my personal perspective. As I said, you know, I would have played sport my whole entire life and always wanted role models.
Yeah.
And you looked up to role models, and I think young girls and young boys, they need role models. And, you know, you look at documentaries like David Beckham or Wayne Rooney or Ronaldo or Maria Sharapova and Serena Williams, and they all seem quite international. But, you know, for me, our talent is right here on our doorstep.
Yeah.
So,
like
that, it just made perfect sense to me to have somebody of the accolades that Cora has and has achieved. I mean, her commitment to the game throughout her years in sport. And it's not just, you know, Gaelic football. Like, she's so decorated in other areas and other fields. Like, she's an incredible athlete.
Yeah.
And her commitment comes across, like, you'll see it throughout the documentary. Like, she's just she's a professional through and through, and she's committed to the game no matter what it is. So for me, as I said, it was a natural thing to have wanted to make. I said, and I felt that she 100% deserved every inch of the recognition for the athlete she is.
Yeah, and on you made the point earlier about female sports people. It does still seem now. I know this summer there was a great summer with the hockey players and our young athletes, but do you still feel that the female sports stars are not getting the recognition they deserve?
Like, I think, you know, we've come so far in terms of getting better exposure for our games. I mean, if you look at even the All-Ireland final last week, the Camogie, and the football's obviously on this weekend, and, you know, there's a lot more representation in the media, and there is a lot more women in sport, and the messages are there. So I think, of course, there's always, like, a lot more to do, but I do think that there is great progression in that, and I think that there is a level of respect that's definitely transforming across into the game. So, I think, you know, for me anyway, on a personal level, I think it's great to get more documentaries like this out on air, get more content to the national broadcasters, and get, you know, women in sports right at the forefront, to the point where it won't even be a talking point, you know? But I think, I said, we've come a long, long way, and when you have the support and backing of, you know, sponsors and media and marketing campaigns, that's just equally important when it comes to getting recognition and exposure.
Yeah, and is Cora delighted with the finished product?
Yeah, I mean, we spoke last night. You know, it was great to obviously catch up and to, you know, see, I said, the product on screen, because obviously as well, you know, it was a process for both of us. You know, Cora's over there to do the best she can do, and she's fully committed to the game. And, you know, obviously I'm the same. I said, I'm fully committed to making the best documentary. So, you know, of course, at times there's always challenges, but I mean, I wouldn't expect anything less when there's two passionate people wanting the best. So, you know, to see the outcome on the screen last night, you know, it was great to see. And you know, not only is Cora happy with it, but the Giants and Sydney Giants, who were so, so welcoming to us. And, you know, the level of access, you know, that was granted to me was just unbelievable. And so, you know, it was great that everybody's been really happy with it. So we'll see how it goes on Sunday night anyway.
Yeah, and on that, it airs on Sunday night on TG Carr. It's 5:45, is it?
That's right, directly after the Ladies All-Ireland final.
Yeah, brilliant. And
perfect.
And before I let you go, just ask you a preview for, we have the Ladies Football final on Sunday, a triple header. Your preview for the senior match between Dublin and Cork?
Well, I mean, obviously I'm a true blue myself.
Yeah,
so I'll be supporting the girls. But to be honest, it looks to be an amazing game. You know, I said the ladies are in amazing shape. I said I love that about sports as well. You know, the strength and conditioning and the physical attributes now to be an athlete are unbelievable. And I think you've seen that last week, you said, with the Camogie final and especially in the men's game too. So it'll be a great clash, that's for sure.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll get a big crowd. I know the crowd last year was big, so hopefully we'll get a big crowd, because they're committing so much, so it would be great if their efforts get the recognition.
Oh, yeah, you know, supporting the sport, and it's mostly said for the younger generation coming through as well. And I said, I have nieces and I have a nephew, and I want them to have role models, and I want them to see, you know, the people that they can aspire to be, and you know, one day want to play in Croke Park as well. So, you know, I think it'd be great if everybody can get out and support the games as much as they can and be there on the day.
Yeah, listen, I really appreciate you taking the time
to
talk to us, Seana. Best of luck. The documentary, again, is on at 5:45 on Sunday, and the best of luck with it, and thanks a mil again for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you. Speak to you soon. Take care.
That was great. That was Seana Keogh, who previewed a documentary on TG Cahir about the iconic footballer Cora Staunton. Just before I was interviewing Seana, I was just looking up some of some information on Cora, and it's just incredible the amount she has achieved in the game. She's won 4 All-Irelands with Mayo, 11 All-Stars. With her club, she's won 5 All-Irelands. So, and she also played soccer, rugby, and as Seana alluded to there, she had great success as well. She spent a season over with Sydney Giants, so, and a great success there. So it's a documentary well worth seeing. I know TJ Cahir make a great job on these GA documentaries, so that's well worth a look. on Sunday.
Text 087 69 44 500. Near FM.
Welcome back to Be On The Back Page with myself, Patrick Donoghue, on Near FM. And I'm delighted to be joined on the line by Sean Kavanagh of the Irish Homeless Street League programme. Sean, how are you today?
Not too bad. And yourself?
Not too bad, Sean. So can you first of all, can you tell us a little about the Irish Homeless Street League programme?
Yeah, well, it started back about 15 years ago. In my role in the Big Issue magazine, I became aware that there was a lot of young people out there who felt disenfranchised from society. They felt life had nothing to offer them. And they felt their life was going nowhere. And that was leading into all kinds of problems. They were becoming disengaged from their families. They were getting into antisocial behaviour, into addiction issues and homelessness and so forth and so on. So I was looking at some way that we could kind of get across to them, and the idea of maybe getting these lads involved in sport came up. So we decided to start maybe a football programme, like what we call Street League. So we developed a programme down in the inner city there with the help of Dublin City Council. And we found that through participation in sport, that we saw changes manifest themselves in the lads that were playing. Yeah. They suddenly forgot about their own problems to a degree. And you could see their confidence building and their self-esteem and their interpersonal skills, because you were playing with other lads in a team atmosphere. So on foot of that, then we became aware at the time that there was a starting up a homeless World Cup for lads that had experienced difficulties in their lives, that each country could enter a team. So we put out the word that we were looking for lads that might be interested in representing Ireland. And we were amazed at the turnout of lads that came up. So we thought we maybe could get about 20 or 30 lads, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
But we got over 100.
Wow.
And we arranged, and we'd have trials over a four-week period rather than an afternoon kind of thing.
Yeah.
And we got Stephen Kenny, who was manager of Bohemians at the time, agreed to come down and give us a dig out and train the lads and look at them and so forth. So we managed to pick a side. It's street football, so we managed to pick eight lads. But we assumed that the lads that weren't picked, they'd be highly upset, and you know, because it was such an opportunity. But they were more upset about not having something to do, not having somewhere to go every week. And we decided then that it'd be better if we could organise, get more people involved on a weekly basis. And anyway, we brought a team over to compete with the World Cup, the Homeless World Cup. That was the first one they had. That was back in 2003. And the competition was very, very tough. We didn't think it would be as competitive as it was. But well, the benefit to us was that we could see the lads totally, the whole demeanour changed. Because all of a sudden they were, you know, they were representing their country. People viewed them in a different light. They viewed themselves in a different light, and they weren't stigmatized by their past. And they all had these great ideas that we were going to do this, that, and the other when they got back. And they were full of these ideas. But, of course, 2 weeks is never enough time to change a person's outlook completely, because when they got back, they were back to the same situation from which they came, you know.
Yeah. So,
it didn't take long for them to drift back into homelessness. Some of them were actually sleeping on the street. The reality was to get off the plane into Cardboard City, as it were. But then we really went full force into kind of developing these, getting people involved on a weekly basis. And we got in touch with the FAI and said, look, if these lads are putting all this effort in and we're going to a World Cup competition, we need to give them some recognition for the effort they're putting in. So they're representing Ireland. So the FAI took them on board. We're affiliated to the FAI in Football for All programme now. So every year that we bring a team to the Homeless World Cup, the lads are awarded international caps. So that is a great motivating factor for lads to get involved with the football. But it also, you know, it means that they have achieved something, gives them a goal. And it's very important to have a goal to, you know, to get yourself out of the rut that you're in.
Yeah.
But, you know, people have the idea, well, this is all just about football. But it's not really. It's about building self-esteem, self-confidence, sense of self-worth.
Yeah.
And these are all the attributes that you need to move forward in life. So that's where our slogan is, a ball can change your life, and it can. You know, we've had many successes. People have gone back to education.
Yeah.
People have re-engaged with their families. People have got jobs. People have got into a proper housing situation. So, you know, there is definite improvements in people's lives. And what's happening now is the potential was always there, but they never had the kind of belief in themselves that they could achieve things. But this participation in sport imbues in them that sense of self-belief.
Yeah, and the upcoming Homeless World Cup takes place in Mexico in November. How are the preparations going for that?
Oh, well, they're going pretty well. We're training three times a week now, and we've got use of a facility out in Castle Knock there at the Value Peak to do high altitude training. So we've got that free of charge. So we go out there once a week, and because when in Mexico, the altitude, as you know, it affects your energy level.
Yeah. So it takes an adjustment.
You know, so we wanted to make sure that you were totally prepared.
Yeah.
So we've got the use of that. So the training is going very well.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the lads come up somewhere from the country, someone from Dublin.
Yeah.
So they all make their way up. And, you know, it's a definite commitment from them.
Yeah. And for the players, they must be majorly looking forward to it. You mentioned earlier about representing the country, but they must be really, really excited now for the upcoming tournament.
Oh, yeah, like they're thrilled bits. These lads, like, they would be in the leagues, like, for the last year, and that would be their goal.
Yeah.
That, you know, maybe we could be picked out as, could be some 300 to 400 people in the leagues. So it's quite an achievement to get picked for the team. And this would be, you know, we've monitored players in the different leagues, and we have our All-Ireland Championships in Tala there in April, and we pick a panel of players and then slowly whittle down to the side that represents Ireland. But the great thing about the Homeless World Cup is you're only allowed to bring, you're only allowed to participate in one.
Yeah.
So the players, you can't bring the same team back twice.
Okay,
so that gives
every other chance.
Yeah, it gives players an opportunity. Yeah. So if you're not picked this year and you stick with it and you keep yourself clean and you do all the right things, because it's a very competitive tournament like this. Something like 56 countries participating, and we're ranked in the top eight, so we have a seeding, which is tremendous. That's based on our performances over the years, but it's very competitive. Like, as I say to people, you know, people have this impression that it's not, you know, it's not a major. It is extremely competitive.
Yeah.
Brazil, there, you have Mexico, you have the Eastern European countries, ex-professionals are selling hard, so it's really, really tough.
Yeah,
you know, and you'd have to be fully fit and, you know, prepared.
Yeah, and always with events like this, it requires funding and finances. In terms of funding, do you receive much funding to support you along the way?
Well, we get Dublin City Council have been a great help to us with facilities and so forth, and the Department of Youth and Children and the FAI have been very helpful in that regard as well. But, you know, we have we also get some individuals and companies that will sponsor us. But, you know, our budget to run the league properly and participate in the World Cup, it costs around 80,000 a year, which is a similar cost to keep one person in prison for a year. So, you know, it doesn't take much to distinguish what is the best value.
Yeah.
But we don't get 80,000 a year, unfortunately.
Yeah.
We only get a fraction.
Right.
And what happens is we're out fundraising all the time.
Yeah.
I spend 90% of my time, and the rest of our volunteers are the same.
Yeah.
Chasing money. And I'll give you, for instance, now next Sunday we're doing a backpacking.
Right.
But that's how we make up the money. And, you know, we never made our budget, so we have to cut our cloth accordingly.
Yeah.
One of our major things with the budget is obviously participating in the World Cup, but you need to have that goal for lads.
Yeah.
You need to have that you know, otherwise there's nothing for them to keep them motivated. And so you need that every year to have that sense that there's a purpose at the end of it all, you know.
Yeah.
Getting an international cap and representing a country, there's no higher honour.
Yeah. And before I let you go, Sean, is if anyone is listening is interested, maybe to, is there a facility to lend a bit of support, kind of financially?
Oh yeah, we have a GoFundMe page.
Yeah,
and we're on the, we have our Facebook, Irish Street Leagues.
Yeah.
If they Google Irish Street Leagues, yeah, they also have a website, www.irishstreetleague.com. But if they get us on Facebook, I think most people go to Facebook, and we have a GoFundMe page to help get the team to Mexico this year. But as I say, all our efforts now, except for the players that we obviously play and training, but most of us are just trying to get the money together to get them there.
That's brilliant. Listen, Sean, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. We might talk to you maybe closer to the event to chat how things are going, or maybe after the event.
Yeah, we're going on the 13th of November. So, I'll give you an update when we get closer to the event.
But that's perfect. Listen, Sean, thanks again for joining us.
Thanks a million, Patrick. Appreciate that.
No
Cheers.
Worries.
Bye-bye.
That's great. That's Sean Kavanagh telling us about a fantastic initiative. And if you go on to Irish Street Leagues on Facebook, it's a really, really great initiative, because we all know homelessness is such a great crisis at the moment. And it's brilliant that people like Sean are doing such great work. And it gives people that are in hard times such a great outlet, because I could only imagine it's quite boring being homeless, having nothing to do. So it's a great outlet for them to do. So definitely check that out. And we might be talking to Sean maybe after the tournament, just to chat how to get on, because it is a great initiative. Before I go, I'm just going to look preview. It's another busy weekend of sport and action, and I'm just going to look at some of the fixtures ahead. Starting at rugby, it's the Pro 14, and on Friday night we'll have Munster and Ospreys on at 7:35, Edinburgh and Connacht at 7:35, and then Leinster and Dragons at 4:30 on Saturday, and on Sunday Ulster away in South Africa at 1:50 p.m. GA action, of course, we are talking to Shauna about Cora Staunton, but it's a triple header of the ladies GA All-Ireland finals. In the junior we have Meath and Tyrone, it's actually in the junior it's Limerick and Loud, in the intermediate we have Meath and Tyrone, and in the senior of course Cork and Dublin, and our own Fergus Carroll of Near FM will be having live coverage of that game on Sunday. So if you want to tune in, please tune in to that, because Fergus will be giving live commentary on that. It's after the cup action in soccer last and the domestic game, it's a return to league action, and in the Premier League we have Waterford and Bray, Shamrock Rovers and Limerick, Bowes and Cork City. They're all on Friday night. And First Division, which is very competitive this year, First Division on Friday night we have Cabinteely and Shelburne, Drogheda and Longford, Galway and Wexford, and UCD and Finarps. And on Saturday in the Premier League, it's Sligo and St. Bats. Cross channel, some great games on Sunday, where of course we had an international break, and on Saturday the early kickoff is Spurs and Leicester at 12:30. We have Bournemouth Leicester, Chelsea Cardiff, Huddersfield Crystal Palace, and Man City and Fulham, Newcastle and Arsenal. And the late kickoff at 5:30 is High Flying Watford against Man United. That's a 5:30 kickoff. And on Sunday we have Wolves versus Burnley. That's a 1:30, and Everton against West Ham. So whatever you're doing this weekend, try and support your local club. So that's it for this evening. I'd like to thank my guests, Shauna Keogh and Sean Kavanagh, for joining me today. Thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you at the same time next week.